God brought you here this morning. I think God brought all of us here this morning and those who are joining us online that we would hear these words from John chapter 8. The message that God has in His Word is that God's truth has the power to set us free. So as we read and consider God's Word this morning, there are two things. There is something for us to know, and there is something for us to experience by His grace. If you don't know that freedom, I pray that you will know it this morning. That the Son will set you free, and you will be free indeed. And for those that know it, we are reminded again, and we worship. And we declare the hope that we have in Jesus. Let's pray, and then we'll look at these verses together. Father, we are here by your kind invitation. We did not determine the times of our boundaries, of our habitation, when we would be alive. You, in your providential hand, have brought us to this place, and I believe to this very service, in this exact moment, on this very day in history. You are present, and you are not silent. Your word speaks. Your word is truth, and it will do its work in all who believe. Lord, do this work in us. I pray that this morning there will be those who hear your word today and will understand and believe and receive the Son who will set us free. I pray, Lord, that you will give life. That where we are tempted to sin, we would see the way of escape that you have provided and that you would set us free from our self-rule. That you will set us free from leaning on our own understanding. That you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our wills to see and to know the truth and to walk in that truth. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're finishing chapter 8 this morning. If you don't have your Bibles open there yet, I invite you to turn to John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. And again, there's something kind of wonderful about the fact that we can't have pew Bibles right now. You need to bring your own Bible. You need to know how to find these verses to encourage and strengthen your heart again. John 8, verse 31 to 59. Hear the word of the Lord. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone of who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me. Because my words find no place in you, I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason that you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now, we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' And Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." The whole section, it's a large section. We obviously can't study it all in great detail. We need to see the big picture of what he's saying. But this whole section is Jesus' continued dialogue with those who believe. Look at verse 31. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed." Now this is falling on the backs of verse 30. Jesus is teaching them, and look what it says. "As he was saying these things, many believed in him." So what does Jesus do? He puts them to the test. He begins to question their belief, as he does today to you and to me. The real question is not do they believe, but the real question to Jesus is their belief genuine? Isn't it enough that they believe? The book of James tells us that even the demons believe and shudder, and they're not disciples. In fact, this is Jesus' connection here to the Jews who believe, isn't it? They believe, verse 31, verse 30, they believe, but their father is the devil. It matters what we believe. In these verses, we'll see two things. We'll first of all see what Jesus says the marks of a disciple are, but secondly, we'll also see what is it that they believed. Why was it that they believed, but it was not the kind of belief that would set them free? Jesus is revealing both what is missing in their belief and what is the evidence of a true disciple. And it may be this morning that these very words of Jesus will do the same to you. And I pray that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the beginning of John's Gospel, in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "To as many as received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God." They received Jesus. They believed on his name. This is something the demons never did. They believed, But they didn't receive Jesus. And even as I read these verses, your memory quickly goes back to the things Jesus said. They rejected him. They did not receive Jesus. So what was it that these believers believed but was not able to set them free, revealing that they were not truly Jesus' disciples? The very first thing they claim is that they are children of Abraham. Look at verse 33. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" It's almost like they are upset. They do not think they need to be set free. They almost seem offended at Jesus that he would suggest that they still need to be set free. It's like many today. Happy to add religion to their life, but they don't believe they need to be set free from sin. They're happy to be religious, and they'll even trust in their religion, but it is a false faith. The Jews here, Jesus reveals, is that they trust their religious heritage, their connection to Abraham. In verse 33, "We are offspring of Abraham." And Jesus responds to them, and he recognizes, yes, you are offspring of Abraham. Look at verse 37. "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you." They reject his word, and they reject him. They're seeking to actually kill Jesus. They are following their father. Jesus goes on to say in verse 37, verse 38, "I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you've heard from your father." Now, Jesus is insinuating that Abraham is not their father, that they have another father. And they must have understood that's what Jesus was doing, because look at verse 39. They immediately answered him, "Abraham is our father." But Jesus questions that. He says, "It's not true. You are his offspring, but he is not your father." Look what Jesus says in verse 39. "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In fact, we can see this right through the entire Bible. Just listen to these words in Genesis chapter 15. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham." And then in verse 5, "And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness." It goes on through the entire book of Genesis and Exodus. Carries on through the Bible, this promise. Listen to one more in chapter 22, 17. "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." It moves through the entire Bible. It comes to the book of Galatians, and it really helps us understand why Jesus says to them, "You are not children of Abraham." In Galatians chapter 3, Paul is saying, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? He preached the gospel, and this is what he said in the gospel. He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed," that God would raise up a Savior, the seed of Abraham, looking to Jesus. And Abraham believed God. And so Jesus is saying, so are those who are really children of Abraham. They will believe the word of God. And Jesus clear explanation that he is that Savior. In fact, verse 9 in Galatians 3 says, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." In John 8, verse 40, Jesus is declaring that they are not children of Abraham. If you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the work that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, the man who has told you the truth. Jesus is emphasizing that it's the rejection of the truth. This is not what Abraham did. Jesus challenges their trust in Abraham as their forefather. Their belief is exposed. They believe that they are connected to God through Abraham, that they have a heritage of faith, a religious practice. For many today, it's the same thing. There is a false belief that we will be saved because of our heritage. We trust in a religious life, a Christian background. And today, on this day, Jesus challenges that belief. It is false belief. It will not save. Maybe you're like me. You grew up in the church, part of a Christian family. Maybe you trust in your background. You come from a religious home. You've gone to church. Maybe you were baptized as a child. It will not save you. It's those who are of faith that are sons of Abraham. Our Christian heritage will not save us. That's what they said in verse 33. We are offspring of Abraham. They rejected the idea that they needed to be set free. There are many today that do the same. In fact, if you go on in verse 40, Jesus says, this is not what Abraham did. He believed God. Verse 41, you are doing the works your father did. And they said to him, we were not born in sexual immorality. Most scholars believe that they're making a reference to Jesus, that they knew that he was the son of Mary, who was pregnant before they were married. And they knew that the child was not Joseph's, and that he was an illegitimate child born in sin. And whether they knew that or not, I'm not sure they did, but whether they did or not, they are making a statement that they were not stained by sin. They are not children of sexual immorality. They do not need to be free from sin. And yet, in verse 41, what's their immediate answer? We have one Father, even God. This is the second thing that Jesus challenges in their belief. They believe in God. They claim that God is actually their Father in verse 41. But what does Jesus say in verse 44? You are of your father, the devil. What a hard saying. And then he explains why. He says, your will is to do your father's will, the devil's will. He was a murderer from the beginning. It does not stand to the truth because there's no truth in him. They are seeking to kill Jesus. And they reject the truth that Jesus is speaking to them. He is saying that they are the very same thing. He is exposing their unbelief. Their belief that is not a belief that will actually save them. Jesus says this very hard thing, you are of your father, the devil. And as I think about my sermon this week, I thought about my sermon this week, I thought, how will I preach this? Do we go around to people and say, you're of your father, the devil? And my heart was immediately brought to Peter. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16? He called him two things. In Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." The Catholic Church declares that they are the true church of Jesus Christ because they are built on Peter. St. Peter's Basilica is actually built on the exhumed body and bones of Peter taken from St. Sebastian Catacomb and put in the basement of the church. And they built the church physically around him. They claim apostolic succession, that Peter was the first pope, and that all the way down through history, through the laying on of hands, they are the only true church. And I say, okay, if that's how you understand the first verse, but go a little further in Matthew 16. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that they must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things for the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he, Jesus, turned and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." Jesus is not saying that he's building the church on Peter. Both of these descriptions of who Peter is, that you, this rock, this foundation, Satan, both of them are based on Peter's confessions. Peter just said, "You are the Christ." And Jesus is saying, "Upon this confession, I will build my church." And then Peter says, "No, you won't go to the cross." And Jesus says, "Now you have in mind the things of men. You are Satan." It is the very thing of our text in John 8. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if you deny the truth of the cross, you will not be saved. Jesus confronts their false idea that they are children of God. And there are many who claim it. There are many who claim to be God's children. They'll even pray to God. They've rejected Jesus. And in so doing, it is a false claim. God is not their father. Jesus challenges this claim, and that if they reject him, that God cannot be their father. And the danger is that people have this false faith today. Many will talk about God. You hear it in their prayers. "Oh, I trust God. I'm trusting God." And they'll talk about God all day long, and they never mention the name of Jesus. Can such faith save you? The universal fatherhood of God is a false faith. These people are claiming that God is their father. This faith will not save. It matters what we believe. And these people are believers. In verse 30, in verse 31, it says, "Many believed in him." This is not the first time Jesus does this. In the Gospel of John, it says, "These things are written so that you might believe, and by believing, you will have life in his name." That's what he says in the Gospel of John, right at the end. And at the very beginning, he says, "To as many as received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God." But it's the kind of belief that actually receives Jesus. In the entire gospel, he's describing what this belief is. In chapter 2, it says many believed in him. And you know what it says next? Jesus did not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in their heart. It was false belief. In chapter 6, it says many believed and followed him. And then Jesus gives the hard sayings It says many went away. Remember Jesus to his disciples, will you leave too? And then Jesus says, Peter says, on behalf of them all, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. Jesus is revealing to us in this text what a true disciple is. That's the second thing we see in this text. We go right back to the beginning. In verse 31, at the beginning, there's three marks of a true disciple. The first one is the one who abides in Jesus' words. Look in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. This whole passage is about Jesus' words. Did you hear it when I read it? If you abide in my words, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. And then he says in verse 37, my word finds no place in you. Then in verse 40, Jesus says, the truth that I heard from God, I'm speaking to you. And then in verse 43, he says, you cannot bear to hear my word. In describing their father, the devil, there is no truth in him. In verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. In verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The entire passage is about abiding in Jesus' word. And the whole point is who Jesus is. The word to abide means to hold on to remain, to live in, to persevere in it, to cling to it. The one who clings to the very words of Jesus is a true disciple. So what are the words of Jesus? If we had time, we could go through this whole text. Look at verse 24, chapter 8, verse 24 of John. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. It's almost exactly before this section what he says at the end of this section, verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. D.A. Carson, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, says that this idea of keeping God's word is really the same idea as abiding. It means to keep it, to receive it, to keep it in your heart and hold it, to fully receive it, to cling to it, to believe it wholeheartedly. The first mark of a true disciple is one who accepts Jesus' description of who he is. In verse 48 to 59, Jesus is declaring that God is his Father. They say, you have a demon. In verse 48, 49. And Jesus says, if you abide in my word, keep my word, you will never taste death. Just like he said in verse 24, unless you believe I am who I am, you will die in your sins. And then as the passage moves down, they basically say, are you greater than our father Abraham in 53 who died? And the prophets died? Their problem with Jesus' message is that he is saying, you will not die. And they're saying, Abraham died. How can you escape death? And then it comes to the real heart of it in verse 53. Do you see what it says? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus says, you don't even know my Father. You claim he's your God in verse 54, but you don't even know him, but I know him. And I must declare it's true, otherwise I would lie like you. And then when they say you're not even 50 years old, how can you say you've met Abraham? Look what he says. Before Abraham was, I am. Exodus 3, verse 14, Jesus' revelation of who he is to Moses. He says, who should I say sent me? And God says to Moses, say that I am has sent you. And obviously, the Jews understood what Jesus was saying, because in verse 59, they picked up stones to throw at him. Leviticus 24 declares the punishment for blasphemy is death by stoning. There is no court. There is no going to the Sanhedrin this time. They knew that Jesus was claiming to be God, the great I Am of the Old Testament. The mark of a true disciple is one who abides in Jesus' words. In verse 24, he says, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." You can say all day long that you believe in God, and you are not set free from your sin if you do not abide in Jesus, in His words. In fact, he goes on in chapter 8. Look at verse 28. "So Jesus said to them, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He.'" The words of Jesus are the message of redemption in Christ alone. That's the second mark of a true disciple. It's not just that you embrace and accept the message, the gospel, the message of who Jesus is, the one who is lifted up, the perfect Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world. His recognition that He is God. But a true disciple is one who is actually set free from sin. That's what it says in verse 32. Look at 31. "If you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And these Jewish people who believe, they say, "We don't need to be set free. Abraham is our father." Then verse 34, Jesus answers them, "This is what you need to be set free from." Do you see it in verse 34? "I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever." So if the Son, he's talking about Jesus, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He will set you free from your sins. That's what he said in verse 24. "Unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins." A true disciple of Jesus was in that prison, shaking those bars. And the Son of God rips that door off. And he is set free. It is not just a list of doctrines to check off. It is to actually be set free. I'm not talking about perfection. We were bound in sin. And only the great I Am, the very Son of God in Jesus, can set us free. Do you see it? "You will know the truth," in verse 32, "and the truth will set you free." And then in verse 36, what is this truth? "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." If you set yourself free because you check off your list, you are not free. A true disciple is one who has actually been set free by the very Son of God in verse 34. It's not just something in our minds, but it's the actual redeeming work of Christ. What is amazing to me in verse 32 to 36 is this intimate connection between the truth and Jesus himself. A true disciple is intimately connected with Jesus. How are you set free? It started in the book of John at the very beginning. What did he say? "To as many as receive him. To them he gave the right to become children of God. A child of God. That's the third mark of a true disciple. A true disciple is a child of God. You can see it in verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Jesus has already told these who believe that they are of their father, the devil. But the true disciple is one who abides in Jesus' words, a full and an enduring, a persevering embrace of the very message of Jesus alone. And the true disciple is the one who's actually been set free by the Son. And the true disciple is a child of God. And look at Jesus' test. And here in the honesty of our hearts in this room, I ask you to ask the same test. Look what he says in verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." It's not just your intellect. Isn't this what Jesus said? All the law and the prophets is summed up in this one thing: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is not just mental assent. It's actually revealing, if God is your Father, to love Jesus. Someone says, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian because I believe." And you know what I will ask them? "Do you love Jesus? Truly? Do you love him?" Peter, the apostle, says it powerfully. He connects new birth, being born again, with a love for Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith," that's what Jesus is doing with those who believe, "the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Why? Because you love him. His word abides in you. You've actually been set free from sin, and you are his child. In 1 John, John the Apostle says, "See how great a love the Father has for us, that we should be called," what? "Children of God." Loved by God and loving Jesus. You know what Peter says here? "That you'd be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's verse 7. And then in verse 8, "though you have not seen him." What is that? Faith. "Though you have not seen him, you love him." Loving faith is saving faith. To see Jesus as your Christian Santa Claus who gives you the gift of salvation because you're not naughty, you're more nice, is not saving faith. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You must love Jesus. And I ask myself this very same test. It exposes our beliefs that are false. We can't depend on our Christian pedigree, our religious background, We can't just talk about God and claim him as our Savior. The universal fatherhood of God is not a faith that saves. No, Jesus reveals who the real disciples are. In John 8, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is you are not of God. What is the most touching part of this passage is after it was all said and done, and my Bible is all marked up, it's like even hard to find my way around in this text. I noticed in verse 51, Jesus answered these who have a false faith. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, to the very ones who rejected him, that if they keep his word, they abide in his word. And I believe it's all these descriptions of a true disciple, because he said the same thing in verse 31, if you abide, then you truly are. It's this invitation to the very ones who rejected him. He says, I'm saying this to you. If that is you this morning, I invite you into saving faith. That Jesus' declaration of who he is and what he's come to do, that when he's lifted up, the Son of Man, on the cross, that you would know he is the very Son of God who's purchased our redemption, that you remain in his revelation of himself, in his words, that you trust him, you receive him, you are actually set free from sin by the very Son of God. That you are a child of God. To love Jesus with a loving faith. Will you pray with me? Father, in my weak attempt, I have sought to set forth the truth that Jesus is proclaiming here. And your Spirit takes his word and it accomplishes his work because he is God. He is your Spirit. We prayed at the very beginning that your word would do its work in those who believe. And I pray this morning that you will produce saving, loving faith. In Jesus' name, amen.